Would you take your Bibles this evening and turn it to Ezekiel chapter 20? We have been studying the book of Matthew, looking at the model prayer, and we've been taking Sunday nights to look and contemplate prayer, and that is my goal for this year. But we have a church administration meeting next Sunday night, and I wanted to take tonight's message and share with you a great need that churches across this country. And I think I would be naive if I were to say that our church does not struggle in some way when we have this amount of people in the building tonight. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. We're not going to do a great exegetical study. This is more of a springboard verse just to get your mind thinking about the connection to your eyes and idolatry. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and I would not hearken, and they would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. You know, it's interesting. This morning we looked again, the second time at least, of God's command against idols. And I thought it interesting that even though Exodus doesn't mention it, we commented on it when we went through the first and second commandment. But while the children of Israel were in Egypt, Exodus doesn't mention it, but here in Ezekiel, God is telling us that they worshiped idols. God told them to get rid of their idols, but they refused. And yet God, in his mercy and his grace and his love for his people, still delivered his people out of bondage despite their unfaithfulness. It seemed in Egypt at that time, it was a common, and if I could put it this way, respectable sin to have an idol. It's easy for us to look back and say, how could they be so blind? How could they allow such a travesty for God's glory to be diminished into a handheld idol made with hands by precious metals, like we looked this morning, or worse than that, even wood or something that is completely fabricated by mankind. How silly. Yet our culture is turning a blind eye to an idol in our day. Now, one such idol I know we discussed when we looked at the seventh commandment. We did a quick overview of it. But I will tell you, this idol has become a narcotic to which those outside and, I fear, even inside the church are not immune. It's not like other drugs. The user doesn't need to leave the house to open their wallet, to acquire it. There are no needles, no paraphernalia needed, save a device that can access the internet. Just one click on a screen, and there it is, ready for use. Although, technically, it's not a narcotic. Studies prove that pornography has similar effects on the human brain and equal potential to cause addiction. Still, our society seems to ignore that it is a public health crisis in our community. And it treats its consumption as tolerable, harmless, And worse than that, it receives the protection of First Amendment, freedom of speech. Tonight, I want to remind you that we have a pandemic that is worse than any other to hit our world, and it's more pervasive than any drug that has ever been introduced to the world. More addictive than crack or even heroin. Pornography. Now, I'll tell you, I know that we have younger people on a Sunday night in the church, and I'm going to be just as careful as I can. One of the dangers of talking about this is creating a curiosity in the next generation. What is the preacher always talking about? But I'm going to tell you, and we'll get to this later, by the time they're 11, most children already know what I'm talking about. That's the travesty. And if we don't talk about it from behind the pulpit, who is going to talk about it? I want to have good decorum, and I want to be modest in our discussion of it, but we can't keep dodging raindrops hoping that it's going to solve itself. You don't need to keep your place, but I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Will you look at verse 3 with me? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. That word fornication is the Greek word porneia. Porneia is used in the scriptures, describes any illicit physical marital unity, if I could put it that way. I'm going to say this word one time and try to avoid it the rest of the night. I don't like to be base, but I need to know that you know and understand what I'm talking about. It's any illicit sexual activity outside of the divine bounds established by marriage. And so it includes the idea of any kind of sinful behavior that involves that kind of union. Kenneth Weiss says this: the moral life of the Greco-Roman world had sunk so low that while protests against the prevailing corruption were never entirely wanting, meaning there was always somebody that was saying we shouldn't be living like that, fornication had long come to be regarded as a matter of moral indifference and was indulged in without shame or scruple, not only by the mass, but by philosophers and men of distinction who in other respects led exemplary lives. What was he saying? Well, he really gives us the recipe of why the Roman, Greco-Roman society crumbled. Rome was never conquered from without. It crumbled from within. There are three things that work together that allow pornography to be so pervasive. By the way, I give you the definition of porneia because it is the word that we it's a root word that we get pornography from. So I don't think it's talking about pornography in the sense that we would think of it today, but it was any kind of illicit relationship outside the bounds of marriage. These three things work together to make pornography such a scourge in our society. These three things, we're going to discuss them. Number one, the availability. Number two, the affordability. And number three, the anonymity. All right? So number one is the availability. In years past, you would have to go to some seedy store to buy something from someone. When I was a child, at least, the dirty magazines were placed behind the counter, and an adult would have to ask for one in order to obtain that filth. There was not unmitigated access. There were gatekeepers, in a sense, preventing the filth and sewage of this world from reaching the most vulnerable amongst us, namely our children. But this unrestricted, unrestrained availability has led to an exposure at a younger and younger age. Several studies I've read, several statistics claim that 11 is the average age of first exposure. I read today something that said 9 is the early exposure, but that, I couldn't verify that. Every other statistics I've seen is 11. But I read a separate second completely unrelated study of the average age that a child gets a cell phone. You want to take a guess? 11.6 years old. 11 and a half years old. An early exposure to pornography is 11 years old. Now listen, that's not correlative, that's causative. Okay, do you understand? Unrestricted access to the sewage is going to make you dirty. It's no wonder that under the guise of freedom of speech, that this filth finds protection. We're under assault as Christians for standing for the truth. Yet immorality that is rotting our country from the inside out gets a pass. And they call it free speech. Any portal to the internet gives direct access to the worst debauchery that you can imagine. Let me talk to the parents for just a moment. You are crazy. I don't say this lightly. You are not a good parent if you give your child a device that has access to the internet unsupervised. We need to parent. We need to, it takes work. It takes supervision. And I am all for, and we'll talk about in just a little bit if we have time, some of the prevention, preventative measures that we ought to be taking. We ought to have trackers and blockers and those types of things on our devices. But nothing is going to beat supervision of the parents. There ought to be no screen allowed in the room of a young person ever. I don't care if it's a phone, if it's an iPad, if it's a television. Mom and Dad, it's your responsibility to protect your children. It's our responsibility to make sure that our young people are not warped by the filth of this world before they even have a chance to develop right thinking, before they even understand what it is they're viewing. It is so pervasive. It's not just on the internet. They still, I imagine, have magazines. I don't know. But I would almost label some of the things they put on billboards that same thing. The things they discuss without shame in our entertainment sphere. I can't help but be next to somebody at a stoplight. My ears begin burning just from the words of the song or whatever it might be that's playing over the radio. Just understand, it is looking for a way to get into your house. Don't think that you're immune. Don't think that you are different than the rest of the world. You've got to be diligent. It is a constant vigilance that will keep your children safe. But not just your children, my friends. It is you that needs protected as well. Don't think that you don't need help or being pure. Don't think that you're different than the rest of the world. There ought to be safeguards put in place. So remember, any device that is connected to the internet has a direct pipeline to the worst kinds of decadence. And like I said earlier, a person would used to have to buy it from the store. There was a cost involved. There was a transfer of money. It was one of the gatekeepers of prevention for young people who historically have not had money until this generation. from being able to buy something that they had no business getting a hold of. But the affordability of pornography now, that's no longer the case. It's free. It's free. Here's a great irony. It may not cost any money, but there is a great cost involved. One of the things that is so dangerous about pornography is that it must escalate. What started out as exciting and new begins to wear off, and something novel must be found. In the days of old, a new magazine would have to be purchased. A new whatever would have to be bought, whatever it was. There was a delay between the time that the muck and the mire of the porn was novel to the user and the time when it became stale and the time that they could go get something that would make it novel again. You say, why are you saying that? Because I'm telling you, with the advent of internet accessibility and the affordability, there is a never-ending buffet of novelty for the depraved heart. Because of that novelty, more deviant behavior must be searched out to reach that same high. Eventually, there's going to be acting out. That's the end for many. Acting out, whether it's prostitution, pedophilia, adultery, rape, that's the pattern that is given in most of the books that I've read on this subject. That is the end where they begin living out that which they've been fantasizing about for so long. Unlike other drugs, pornography addicts carry around their own source of supply. I'm not talking about the phone in your pocket or your purse. I'm talking about the indelible memories that are made. And because God hardwired humans to desire that physical connection, that physical intimacy, our internal chemistry produces addictive chemicals while viewing pornography. I was reading in a book. I just forgot the name of it. See No Evil. I'm going to read you several quotes from that book tonight. They said, people get high off their own brain chemicals. It goes on to say, these physiological chemicals can be brought to bear anytime the one in bondage wants to by simply recalling the images they've already ingested. As the brain develops a desire for these powerful neurotransmitters, the body realizes it can tap into this source anytime it wants to. Therefore, the addicted individual can create an endorphin high on the spur of the moment. He finishes this thought saying, competing with these internal brain neurotransmitters is not easy because most individuals cannot imagine life without them. This creates a terrible cycle in the one that is in bondage to pornography. Now, it's not just pornography. There's drugs out there, but I'm speaking specifically about pornography tonight. The first stage of this cycle is a stimulus. Our society today would call it a trigger. I'm going to read several of this. It is, again, from this book, See No Evil, but I think he words it better and more concisely than I would be able to. The first part of this cycle is the stimulus or trigger. He says, you see a pornographic magazine or view an email that comes to your inbox with a pornographic image or link, and there are hundreds of potential triggers that get the mind thinking about pornography. Our society does not help much with this, he says. Emotion. The emotion one feels is often instant. It may be excitement, interest, or curiosity. Number three is thought. Initially, the thought can be, I wonder, or what will I see or find? Once this curiosity settles in, the thought is likely to be something like, I could look at pornography. Or, I like what I'm feeling. Why not? When the emotion and the thought of viewing pornography are entertained, the brain, listen, quickly releases neurotransmitters in anticipation of what is going to come next. Number four is a chemical release. The body, including the brain, is flooded with chemicals and neurotransmitters, preparing it for what it will see and what could happen. It is important to note that once a behavior sequence is fully developed in the brain, these chemicals and neurotransmitters are released in the body before a person ever looks at pornography. With the release of these chemicals and neurotransmitters into the body and brain, respectively, the body and the brain begin to change. The fifth step is a physiological response. A person's heart rate will increase, and their hands will become sweaty or cold. Their eyes will likely become dilated. Their muscles will become tight and rigid. With the body feeling strong emotions, the individual still has to decide if they are going to give in and view pornography. Lastly, the decision. The decision. The battle inside between the flesh and the Holy Spirit of God, this is the battle during which the individual will decide if they will be led by the Holy Spirit or by the flesh. Unfortunately, most individuals wait too long before this battle begins. The brain and the body have already released the chemicals and neurotransmitters. Thus, this makes the battle a very difficult one to fight. The winning thoughts of this battle determine the outcome. The battle comes to an end when the individual authorizes a specific behavior. They will follow the Holy Spirit of God or their flesh. Let me tell you something. There is good news, and that is behavior sequences can be changed. But if they don't change them, they'll go into this acting out, and then they will feel helpless and worthless. They'll quit. They'll repent. They'll promise never to do it again. And then they'll be triggered again, and they'll go right back into the cycle looking for comfort from that guilt. They'll go right back into the sin that led them there in the first place. You see, the unseen cost of porn is that peace and hope must be completely surrendered. The cost of pornography is hope. Because someone that is bound in that sin, that is controlled by that bondage, is hopeless. They've tried and they've tried and they've tried and they fail and they fail and they fail. Not only is there a hidden cost to the consumer of porn, but those in porn pay an untold price. Do not ever believe that it is a victimless crime. Many of the young ladies commit suicide. There is emptiness. There is a shallowness of life. There is the toll of human trafficking. Every time an image of an underage girl or boy is viewed, it creates the demand for another one of those pictures. It's not victimless. And to stay novel, there has to be an unending stream of new faces. There's a toll on the family. I was looking, I saw a number earlier this week. I didn't write it down. I couldn't find it today. But I saw somewhere that 40 or 50% of divorces are because one of the spouses has an insatiable desire for pornography. I don't know if that's true. I couldn't flesh that out. But I'll tell you, if there is that big of a prevalence in our society, then that is going to be the root cause of a lot of dysfunction in homes today. Another irony is that despite feeling alone and isolated, most men will not be able to connect with their wives in an honest and intimate way because they have closed themselves off and all they are intimate with is a screen. By the way, there is a toll on our society. Rome wasn't, as I mentioned, conquered from the outside. It crumbled from the inside. Just like we see America crumbling today. Not only the disintegration of societal norms, but where pornography is accepted, there will be higher rates of pedophilia, of rape, adultery, and other debauchery. So although porn is free to consume, it costs the consumer everything. Here's another irony. Despite its complete availability and affordability, because people cannot get enough, they begin paying for it. And it is a multi-billion dollar industry. I don't understand how something that is free is generating this kind of money, but it's some $13 billion every year. I've given you the statistics before. That is more than all the sporting teams, I believe, the NHL and the NBA and the football and all of it together. That's just a tremendous, incredible amount of money being spent on this sewage. Let me just talk to you young people just for a moment. There is a danger, as I started out saying, to arouse curiosity, not only in young people, but why what is the pastor talking about? Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've talked to many young men who allowed curiosity to destroy their walk with God. What's the big deal? I'm going to tell you, it's just like crack cocaine. You might be hooked the first time you look. And once it gets its meat hooks into you, you're in for a battle the rest of your life. Curiosity has captured its legions. It is as addictive. It is as addictive as heroin and just as deadly. It is completely available. It is affordable, but the cost is high. But another thing that causes and allows pornography to be so pervasive in our society is the anonymity. Going back to the thought that it had to be purchased in person, there was a person that was going to see you buy that magazine or whatever it might be. There were others in line that might see you grab it or ask for it. Those were all deterrents. At least at one time in our society, those would be considered deterrents. But because it can be done in the privacy of the little corner of your world, there's been an explosion. I read in one article that I read said in 2020 there was a 600% increase in, I don't know what they call them, page views of porn sites because of the people that were staying at home now. I'm glad to report to you that there is some hope. Recently, legislation is gaining momentum in states like Louisiana and Arkansas. It's starting to require an online identification. It will associate personal information with this ID. But the porn lobby, and don't be mistaken, there is a force to be reckoned with called the pornography lobby. It's a raging lobby to stop anything that tries to keep the filth from the masses. But they lobby against it. Why? Because they know what we know. When you remove the anonymity, you lose customers. People don't want to be identified with that. People don't want anybody else to know what they're doing online. But can I remind you something as a Christian? There is no such thing as true anonymity. First of all, even in this world, there's something called IP addresses. And they can be traced to individual devices. And they are being tracked. There's a computer history. I'm not talking about your internet history. I'm talking about on your computer. And it can be brought up in the depths. I don't know how to get there, but I've been told by other people that know how to work on computers that in the heart of your computer, it can see every IP address that computer has ever visited. But more than that, there is a God in heaven who sees what you see. There's a God in heaven that you bring with you to the slop trough. He not only sees what you see, but he sees what you do with what you see. Oh, where is the hope? Where is the hope? My friends, there is hope. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as there is a Savior, we have hope. As long as there is Jesus, there is victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is wonderful news. Victory is not always instantaneous. Sometimes it's a hard, long slog. It's warfare. The first 90 days are imperative, but that's just the beginning. For your brain to make new pathways, to make new synapses, it can take 3 to 5 years. The Bible talks about renewing of the mind. Praise God, He has made us. We don't have to live in sin. We are dead to sin, the Bible says. Well, there will have to be a great commitment on the person that wants purity. But wanting victory isn't always enough. People want a lot of things. There has to be a commitment, a dedication to it. I believe without someone walking with you, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to reach that finish line. There has to be light that is brought into the situation. The light of transparency, accountability. A small group of individuals that you can trust, that you can be transparent with. Now, I've spent tonight talking about what makes pornography so prevalent, so pervasive in our society. It is the accessibility. Parents, we need to be on watch. It's the affordability, but understand, it may be free monetarily. It carries with it a tremendous cost to the person using it and everyone that is involved in getting it to your screen. And there is no such thing as anonymity. It is only perceived anonymity. God sees it all. But I do believe people can gain their freedom from this bondage. Aren't you glad for John 8:32? "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Praise God for that truth. But just spending the rest of our time looking at perhaps some place like Romans chapter 6, it's not going to give you all the information. We could spend several weeks and months going through all the information, I think, that would help you to live in sustained victory. Several years ago, I was counseling several different men in this area. I was looking for help. It was a journey that I'd not traveled before. I knew the Bible had the answers, but I confess I didn't know exactly how to put them in a way and package them in a way that was going to be a help to these men that were struggling. I came across a powerful help called the Conqueror Series. It was a DVD set. It came with books and studies. But I can never give it a full endorsement. And I'll tell you why. It has some really good information, but it has horrible music. The first 8 minutes of the first CD, I would have to fast forward through. And I have to apologize to the person. Don't worry about this. Don't think about this. I mean, it has, in my opinion, one of the scenes should not be there for men struggling in this area of their viewing, okay? They didn't use the right Bible. And a few of the preachers they had in that series, they're in their 60s trying to look 25. You know what I mean by that. I came to the conclusion that if I was going to walk with someone through this valley, that resource, it was better than nothing. But I would have to sit there and, before we watch it, I have to give a list of disclaimers. Then 2 years ago, Missy and I went up to the Victory Conference in Wisconsin. What I did not realize at the time was that evangelist Jim Van Gelderen was beginning a journey to help some of the young men around him as well. He too had been utilizing the Conqueror Series, but he too realized that it was deficient in several areas. like me, he continued to use it, but that journey began the development of a curriculum to help people in bondage, but he still understood the visual impact of the Conqueror series had. It had value. So at the Victory Conference 2 years ago, Pastor Van Gelderen made an announcement saying they were going to start on their own video series. It means it would have the right Bible. It would have Christ-honoring music. It would have Christians, excuse me, that look like Christians. And so 2 years ago, when he made that offering, they took a special offering at the conference. Missy and I gave personally, knowing there is such a need, being that I was in the midst of helping several different men at the time. But I didn't feel led to bring it before the church at that time. They raised $50,000 at that one offering. It was enough to start pre-production, to write out and list a script. They collaborated with another ministry called Precious Stones. And they began to look for a production company. The person that was in charge of finding a production company has absolutely zero talent in production. Joe Mueller, the pastor looked at him and said, go find us a production company. So he called one person that he knew in the industry, and they said, I know exactly who you need to talk to. And he gave this guy's number. And so as Brother Mueller called this production company and began to give a vision about what the church wanted to do, the man said, my wife and I have been down this road of pornography. And while God has been gracious and begin to give victory, he said that they had been praying that God would send them a collaborator, that they would be able to produce a video just down this line. And so as they cast their vision, it was apparent that God was doing a work there. It was amazing. Last year, they had another offering, and once again, they raised another $50,000. Now, I asked Brother Mueller what the total cost of production was going to be. He said it was going to be somewhere close to $300,000. But it's going to be professional. It's not going to be somebody with an iPhone shaking around. About 3 weeks ago, Falls Baptist Church pumped in another $20,000. So they are completely vested. They are all in on that. And so at $300,000 this year, they needed, I don't remember what the exact amount was, some $95,000 or $97,000. And so they had an offering, and they raised that amount. It was over $90,000, $93,000 or $45,000 that they raised to be able to complete this series, the video aspect of it, but it's also the books and things like that. But included in that $95,000 offering was a pledge from your pastor for $2,500. I know before I made that pledge, I leaned over to my wife and I told her, I said, listen, whether the church wants to get involved or not, I believe strongly about this. And we need to be about coming up with a solution and a help rather than having a list of disclaimers. And I said, I told her I'd be willing, just her and I, to cover that if the church didn't want to get involved. I've never committed the church to anything without talking to the church first. But I will tell you, I am so burdened. I didn't read you the percentages of people that are involved. And like I said, it would be staggering. And I fear that we would be naive to think that it stops at the doors of our church. And so the administrative meeting next week is to vote, and hopefully somebody will be willing to make a motion that our church will send $2,500 to help finish, to be part of the solution. We could wait and just buy the product, but I tell you, I believe God is going to give a blessing to those that are on board and helping to come up with a solution more than just waiting for somebody else to do it. I think there are very few, if any, in here tonight that probably have not been affected in some way or another with this scourge, with this blight And so I spoke to our deacons, and they asked some very good questions. But they agreed, I believe, that it is better to be part of the solution than to just buy a product when they're finished. Now, this offering will give our church the DVD set when they're completed, but it also gives us some training. It allowed me to go down in January to... the video is not a fix, all right? I want to make that clear. You don't just hand somebody that's struggling with pornography a video series and that's going to fix the problem. It is in conjunction with counseling. It is in conjunction with walking alongside of them through that valley and being a resource for them and some accountability and seeing God begin to do a work in their life. But it is, I believe, an important part of that process. It can be an impactful part of that process. And so I don't want to leave you hopeless tonight. There is hope in victory. Just as I said, as long as we have a Savior, we have hope. We don't have to live in bondage. And tonight I want you to know we don't have to wait for a video series to come out to begin to see God do a work in your life. And if you're struggling tonight, listen, I don't look down on people. We don't condemn people. Pride, I believe, in conjunction with fear, leads people into a snare. Right? That's what the Bible says. But whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And I would encourage you, if you're struggling tonight, I don't care what your position is. I don't care if you're studying for the ministry, if you're in the ministry, if you're a Christian and you're worried about what mom and dad may think, or you're worried about what your spouse may think, I'm telling you, you better start thinking about what God thinks. Are you tired of being in bondage? Are you tired of living a life of defeat? Why don't you do something about it tonight and ask God to give you the boldness and the courage to take that first step. And whether you come to me now and come to the altar, or you come and find somebody after we're dismissed, don't leave here tonight without talking to someone and taking that first step of getting victory.